This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Desperate times call for...
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. General Motors needs cash badly. The carmaker's losing $1 million an hour. That's why it's likely that today GM will announce it's selling a big chunk of its financial services arm, GMAC. Reports say a private investor group will pay about $8 billion for it. GMAC is the one part of General Motors that makes money. So why this desperate measure? Marketplace's Bob Moon explains.
GM's dilemma has been something akin to trying to buy a car with bad credit. At the research firm Gimme Credit, analyst Shelley Lombard thinks GM's own credit rating has slipped so far that it essentially needs a cosigner to keep running its financing business.
Most people who do that business and do it well can raise capital cheaply and then turn around and lend that money at a much higher markup to John Q. Public so he can buy a car.
Lombard says GMAC has been a big moneymaker and GM would probably prefer not to have to give up control, but the automaker can use a quick cash infusion and show investors some much-needed credibility.
GM wants to be a success at something these days, and you know they have a to-do list and the market is not going to look favorably on it if that item doesn't get checked off.
GM stock value has been battered by revelations of more accounting problems, which are now being investigated by government regulators and a federal grand jury. In New York, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
A huge deal in the telecom industry over the weekend. The French company Alcatel said it's buying U.S. rival Lucent for about $13 billion. The firm will be based in Paris and will focus on bundling internet, phone, and TV. It'll be a major player in an industry that's seen a wave of consolidation. The company plans to cut about 10% of its workforce after the deal closes. The U.S. Senate digs into immigration reform this week, specifically a bill that would create a guest worker program. The president supports the idea, and so do many immigrant groups who've been protesting a competing House bill. As Scott Tong reports, the issue is also pitting Republican against Republican.
Before breaking for the weekend, proponents of a bipartisan bill to create a guest worker program claimed momentum. A version of their bill could pass as early as Thursday. But House leaders reject the guest worker idea. David Frum of the conservative American Enterprise Institute says the larger clash pits Republican donors against Republican voters.
Many Republican strategists believe that the key to the party's long-term future is to support liberalized immigration as a way of bidding for future Hispanic voters. The problem is Republican loyalists are very, very unhappy about what they see their Republican senators doing.
Well, some Republican senators. Guest worker opponents want a bill that only focuses on border security. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Those of us who need a little caffeine to get through the day or night might go with coffee or Coke, but both at the same time. Coca-Cola comes out with a new drink today called Coke Black, and it is a mixture of coffee and soda. It has twice the caffeine as regular Coke, but less than half the calories. It costs $1.70 for an 8-ounce bottle. Geez, a caffeine IV might be cheaper. Investors could use something to wake them up. The Dow fell 41 points Friday. The Nasdaq dropped one. But for the quarter, the Dow gained 3.5%. The Nasdaq was up 6%. This is Marketplace. You've probably heard of the Booker Prize for Fiction. Today, a new award called the Blooker for books that started as web blogs. From the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
For years, publishers were gatekeepers who decided what the public would read. Now, the internet has thrown open the gates to bloggers who fill web pages daily with their innermost thoughts. University of North Carolina professor Paul Jones was one of the judges of the Booker Prize. He thinks the beleaguered publishing industry is starting to take note of bloggers, some who come with more dedicated fans than traditional authors.
Books are a great way for the industry to recognize new markets, new readers, and new writers.
Taking the prize for the best book is Julie Powell, who will receive $2,000 for her book, Julie and Julia. It chronicles her attempts to cook all the recipes in Julia Child's classic, Mastering the Art of French Cooking. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace,
which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Reuters, the facts without spin as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Lawyers for Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skilling start putting on their defense today in the Enron trial. It won't be easy to convince the jury these two did nothing wrong, but even if they manage to beat the rap, Lay faces another trial right after this one. Newsweek's Alan Sloan joins us now. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Scott.
What is this second trial all about?
He's charged with three counts of providing false information for banks so that his loan would be on better terms than it would otherwise have been. And then there's something I'm not quite sure I understand, where he's charged with bank fraud. But this is, you think of companies collapsing, the end of the world, the scandal wave. You know, you hear things like this and you sort of smile. But this is really serious stuff for Lay. I mean, this is really a problem, especially since it's being heard without a jury.
And the penalty for the second trial, he faces something like 30 years in prison if he's convicted on those charges.
The bank charges carry penalties of up to 30 years each, and he's got four charges.
Was the government trying to just make something stick here by having two different trials?
Well, the government originally threw these things in with all the late charges, and at some point during the legal maneuverings, in order for Skilling and Lay to be tried together, the judge took this part of the case, which doesn't involve Skilling, and made a separate trial out of it.
If Lay and Skilling get off totally or even lightly, would you say justice won't be served?
I mean, there's a great call for these guys to go away for 1,000 years, possibly 2,000 years. You know, I think they've done a lot of bad stuff. Whether they're criminals is up to the jury. But I mean, to me, these guys have had their net worths wiped out. They've got a mark of Cain on their forehead. Their lives are in many ways over. Their reputations are shot. You know, they've been punished. I've seen cases that I don't want to allude to of financial criminals who've gone to jail and in the end have suffered less than these guys have already suffered.
Well, with all the charges that Lay faces, what's the worst thing you think that he did during all this?
There was a famous, or to me, infamous incident in September of 2001. He had an online forum for Enron employees where he said, among other things, he considered the stock an incredible bargain. He forgot to mention that he was selling tons of it and it sold $24 million and was in the middle of selling more. I think that was just atrocious and inexcusable and very clear. Some of the stuff is murky.
Well, we'll have to see what the jury and the judge think about all this. Alan, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Scott.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. He'll be back next week with another edition of the Sloan Sessions. Today, we're launching a podcast of this very program. So if you want to hear what I just said all over again, go to our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
You know what word you don't hear much anymore?
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.